Basically, I started with coffee when I was 23 years old. I came to Oroville when I was 21 for 6 months, and I said, this is the place I want to be, but I was too young. So I said, if I want to come back to Oroville and contribute in one way or the other, I should come back with a skill. So when I went back to Spain, I explored different jobs, and coffee came across. And at that time, Spain coffee scene was very, very ordinary. You could only find one type of coffee. You didn't know when, where the coffee was coming from. Absolutely nothing. Just give me a coffee. That's the maximum you can get. So then we said, why we don't introduce the concept of specialty coffees from origin? So I met a couple of Italians. Actually, they were brothers. Set up a new company in Barcelona. They were introducing espresso coffee machines in the Spanish market. And those machines were designed in a way to produce extremely good quality espressos. Very consistent brewing. Even if you brew 300-400 espressos a day, the consistency of the coffee will be the same than the first cup. So they were looking also for customers that they would have another interest in coffee, not just making one coffee, but to build the business around specialty coffee. And it was a great match, because this is exactly what I wanted to do. So they show us the art and science of espresso, and they managed to pass the passion of coffee to me, and I will be always very grateful to them, because when you receive that knowledge at that age, it changes your future, absolutely. Your career is then becomes very clear what you want to do. So based on these collaborations and encounters, we opened our first coffee shop in Barcelona when I was 23 years old. And there is when I always call, that was my university studies. Because from when you open a coffee shop, you need to have also not only knowing how to brew good coffees, but you need human resources and training of the personnel, customer care, accounts, interior design, so many aspects that goes around to serve a good cup of coffee. So for the period of 3 years, non-stop, very intense training, running as a specialty coffee shop, gave me the confidence and knowledge to move one more step, that will be to study coffee from seed to cup. And since Oroville was located in South India, and South India is the only part of the subcontinent that grows coffee, I was lucky to know that in 3 to 5 hours drive, I would be actually in the middle of the coffee plantations. So that opened my eye and said, why I'm not going to start not only in a specialty cafe, but now I'm going to roast the coffee in the cafe. So people can see how the coffee is being transformed from green to roasted, and they will experience a coffee that cannot be fresher than that. It's roasted in the premises and it's brewed in the premises. That's why we started Max Coffees in 2008 in a very small place. And I brought a coffee roaster from Spain, a second-hand coffee roaster, put it in a ship, in a wooden box. We installed it, and we started roasting first with a coffee from Cork, from an organic farmer. And after 8 years, now we have more than 8 types of coffees, and we are selling across India through the website, through regular email orders. We go and visit, we do brewing sessions. So our cafe and coffees now are becoming well known in the customers that appreciate good quality food. And usually people who appreciate good quality food, they also appreciate good quality beverages. And we can compare coffee with chocolate, wine, or other products that requires a lot of time, attention, dedication, if you want to really achieve a taste that is difficult to match. Before, this coffee was exported out of the country, so it was very difficult to find high quality coffees in India. But through the project of Max Coffee, now the farmers are willing to sell to us, even if small quantities. They don't mind the quantities, but they also appreciate the value that this coffee remains in India, and it's roasted in the country and enjoyed by the people who lives in the country or the visitors that comes and visits India. They have a good understanding and a good experience of what Indian coffee is.
Super good.
The coffee connoisseurs are becoming more available in the Indian market. There is more interest. So this is helping a lot for us to continue our job of developing new coffees and getting new single estates and reaching more people, because there's a genuine need for Indians now to drink best coffee. So basically the project of Seed to Cup was for us very important to close the cycle and understanding every single step from the seed to the cup, how many hands, how many people, how many processes. And being in our wheel also is somehow making us look deeper. It's not just about the coffee, it's how the coffee is being made. And this allow us to meet farmers and tribal people working in the forest, and coffee curing, and coffee tasters, and coffee roasters, and brewers, and the whole coffee community becomes really connected. You have a feeling that you are working with a big family.
So all the coffee you serve here in your coffee shop is from India?
Yes, we only have Indian coffees. In fact, the three key words we put in our packing, it's always fine Indian coffees. And that is what one tagline. For us, bring coffee from Colombia or bringing coffees from Ethiopia will not make much sense, because what we want is to promote the coffee that grows in this country. Another thing is that sometimes we get samples from different countries. This is great because we love coffee and we like to try different origins, and each origin, each country brings a different flavor. And this is very good for us to keep our palate and our sensorial alive and well trained. But definitely, our intention is only promote Indian coffees.
How many varieties of Indian coffee you have?
At the moment, we have 7 types of coffees. And within these 7 types of coffees, we have 3 categories. One category is what we call signature blends. A signature blend is the result of many years of tasting coffees from different regions separately, and understanding the synergy between them, very much like when you create a perfume, making a blend of coffee more or less falls into the same process. One coffee from one part of India will give you a base note. Another coffee grown in another area will give you a high note. So what you need to compose is like a sensorial landscape where you achieve a taste which is greater than the coffee by themselves separately. So that was called signature blends. That also differentiate us from the rest, because it's a unique flavor you can only get through this brand. Then we have what we call single estate coffees. Like in France, you would call it the Chateau. It's a wine that comes from that place, that vineyard. So we have 2 single estate at the moment.
What are they?
One is called Julian Peak, that it's located at the Chevarois Hills in Tamil Nadu. It is next to Salem. And another one is from the Nilgiris. It's called Balmadi, so another single estate. And then we have specialty coffees, like the Malabar Monsoon coffees, which are post-harvesting techniques that only India can do and replicate. So the Malabar coffees are India's coffee specialty per se. So we have created 1 signature blend with this, and we have kept pure Arabica Malabar as a specialty coffee for the connoisseurs. And then we also have the Turkish blend, which is for people who likes to mix coffee with spices. As cardamom also grows along with coffee, we have mixed cardamom and coffee powder together in a very fine powder, almost like a talc powder. It's called Turkish powder. And then people that enjoy Turkish powder can also brew it through our blend.
But it doesn't mean it comes from Turkey, no?
No, it comes from India, but it's a Turkish coffee blend. I mean that we are using the Turkish method to achieve certain textures and flavors and aromas. India is at the currently, it's planting more than 400,000 hectares of land under coffee cultivation, 400,000 hectares. And Indian coffee also differentiates from other countries like Brazil or Vietnam or Kenya or even Colombia. Indian coffee grows under the shade of trees, and that is something that people take for granted. But I think it's a major difference and a major achievement, because when you do coffee cultivation under shade, you are protecting the local species, particularly trees, that create shade. That shade creates mulch, and that mulch creates nutrients. That shade also avoids evaporation of water, so it retains the moist content in the soil. You also allow other species to coexist, particularly a lot of birds. Coffee plantations in India are bird paradises by default, because it's so much fruits and food for them. It's also become a place for other animals like elephants, bisons. So this is one of the aspects that people should understand. When you drink Indian coffee, you ensure that this coffee is grown at least under the shade of beautiful trees, and not like in Brazil where they cut all the Amazon forest just to grow intensively coffee for 30 years using pesticides and herbicides and fungus and all that. After 30 years, these trees are exhausted and the land is depleted, and then they move into another patch. So we don't want to follow this trend. We prefer to follow the Indian trend, which is shade grown. Of course, the yield will be less because you have less sunlight, but the taste will be sweeter. And definitely you are maintaining the forest for much longer time. I think long-term vision is what we need today. And Indian coffee farmers, they have this very clear.
This happens all in the south of India?
All in South India. We have basically four states that grows coffee. The first is Karnataka, in terms of volume, and then it comes to Tamil Nadu, and then it comes to Kerala, and then you have some coffee growing also in Andhra Pradesh, and they are trying out coffee also in northeast, Manipur, the Brahmaputra area. They are trying to introduce coffee. Why they try to introduce coffee? Because coffee can give livelihoods to tribal people. Tribals in India are used to have a system of farming that is not anymore sustainable. Perhaps a few centuries ago, it was not much population. They could move into different parts of the forest. But today, things have changed. They realize that the tribes burn the forest, plant some crop, get the crop, and move to the next patch. They realized that in Andhra Pradesh, and they identified that maybe coffee could be a way for them to avoid doing these practices. No more burning, growing more trees, create a shade, grow coffee that can give you once a year a crop. It's a cash crop. You know that the good coffee will be sold because the coffee demand in India is growing. So they tried this in Andhra Pradesh, and it's turned to be very successful, because they have, now the tribes, they have no need anymore to move to new patches. They can have their own coffee estate, and there is enough work throughout the year to maintain. At the same time, you have a main cash flow coming for 3 months, where is the harvesting time, and then, you know, it goes more into a relaxed mode, just maintaining the plantation, pruning the trees, and of course fertilizing the trees. But the main work is concentrated in 3 months a year. So that allows them also to continue the lifestyle of gathering and hunting. And, you know, it's not like you need to go to the farm every day like you would do, like if you're growing, corn or other crops. It's much more easy.
Do you think that the times when we had no rain, it affected?
Usually coffee grows in the mountains. Above 1,000 meters above the sea level, you can start getting good coffee. So definitely climate change is affecting coffee. There's no doubt. There's so many reports already telling that climate change will definitely change the landscape of where the coffee grows. But so far in India, I see that the rainfall in the mountains still quite regular. Of course, it's not like a perfect machine that always rains at the same time, but since it's shade grown, it can handle much better drought than if you do it completely exposed under the sun. Yes. So that definitely helps the plant to, the resilience of the plant, it's bigger than if you remove all the shade and leave the plant alone. I think India will, the production of coffee in India is still growing. Climate change still not affecting too much the coffee production. And coffee is rain fed. It's a crop that is rain, it should be rain fed. Now there are new plantations that they want to grow coffee very intensively and like a machine, then they put drip irrigation with all the nutrients in the water so they don't need even to fertilize the soil. Those are examples of highly intense, highly commercial coffee plantations. But our philosophy that is better to always use what you have and don't deplete the resources around you.
India exports coffee.
Yeah, India exports coffee. And you know the country that buys more from India is Italy. The second one, it's just three times less, imagine, and it's Germany. If you would take any Italian brand, do a taxonomy, like just to see exactly, okay, this Illy Cafe, no? Espresso blend. Can we find out from where it's coming from? You will be surprised. But maybe 40% of that blend comes from India. But nobody knows that. And that is some of the things that Coffee Ideas and Max Coffee wants to bring to the attention of the consumer. People think that coffee actually comes from Italy. And Italian coffee is superior than anything else. What Italian people did was to develop a good technology to brew coffees, espresso machines, and they also understood very well how roasting process works. So they were pioneers, I think, in the early years of coffee. They were the very first who took coffee to another level. But I think it's time also for the consumers to understand that what they drink, it doesn't come actually from Italy, it comes from other countries. Why not to honor that also and said it is roasted by Italian technology, but the coffee actually comes from India. They don't want to reveal the source because, of course, it's competition and you are in that ecosystem where you need to keep your secrets, otherwise another company will come and mash you down. So we want to take another road. So that's why our single estates, we always mention from where it comes from. Even the blends you can read at the back of the packet, from which region, from where. So for us, revealing the source is actually a selling point rather than a secret. Because what makes the coffee different at the end is the way you roast it. The roasting is for us one of the key factors to differentiate from other coffee brands. If you want to compete in the market in coffee, you need to be radically different from the rest. Why? Because the coffee business scenario is dominated by big corporates. They have huge amount of money to promote their coffees through the media. They also have the investment and the money to set up very expensive coffee shops in expensive locations. So how small companies like Coffee Ideas can survive and can stand out from these big corporates, I think is because we can give something that has more character. Big companies are looking for standardization. They want to have standard flavors because they need to market their coffees across big surfaces or across countries. So they cannot afford to change the profile or to change few things. For them is an advantage, and for us it's also an advantage because this is the cutting edge we can bring. It's a very personalized roast, and it's done in small quantities. Cannot be, upscaled much. You could upscale at a certain point, but then you lose the craftsmanship of roasting. So roasting coffee means that you need to transform the green bean into a roasted coffee. And that is a process that requires a lot of understanding on chemistry and physical change. And we have a software that helps us to understand what happens to the coffee beans. When we are roasting, we are measuring the temperatures inside the drum, outside the coffee roaster. We are checking also the temperature of the coffee bean itself. We are playing with pressures on the gas jets. We are playing with air flows. We are playing with revolution per minute in the drum. All this is going to give us variables. And that composes in a chart, composes what we call the roasting profile curve. It's like a curve. You start and you end. And that curve is what is going to define the taste of your coffee. And that is what Mars Coffee is, I think, good, because we have understood what are the processes that you need to create a special taste. So we have endothermic reactions, we have endothermic, exothermic, we have Maillard reactions, we have Strecker reactions, we have sugar formations, we have caramelizations. So according to each coffee, according to the terroir of each coffee, if I get a coffee from a region like Kerala, which is not grown at high altitude and has a profile of lower acidity notes, I know what I need to do in the roasting to bring forward these characteristics. Or even if there is something that I'm not happy with that coffee, I can modify in the roast. So roasting becomes a very creative process, and definitely is one of the aspects that makes our coffee unique and very difficult to replicate.
So you don't have one standard way to do it, you do it according to...
Each blend has its own curve profile. So we have dark roast coffees, we have medium, we have light roast. So we have three types of roast profile, depending on the terroir of the coffee and also depending on the blend that we want and depending on the idea of the coffee. When we develop blends, first we ask ourselves, for what do we want a blend for? Okay, we want a breakfast blend. We want a blend that can wake you up. Then you need to compose a blend that has a body, that has enough caffeine to wake you up. It can go with milk, because most of the people for breakfast like to have some milk. If we do a blend that is meant to be drunk after lunch, you will not need to have a dark roast. We have more medium to light roast, because what you want is just an aromatic experience. So by roasting the coffee a bit lighter, you bring aromas that if you roast it dark, they will be destroyed. It's like designing a piece of fashion. You want a suit for a party or you want a suit for a gala dinner. Depending where you go, you will choose one coffee or another.
What type of customers do you get?
That's a very good question, because we have all types of customers. We have the customer who is very rational. We have people who are very emotional. We have people that are very romantic. I have people who comes here just to evade. Evade in the sense they want to have their coffee moment. They want to disconnect from the daily routine. They come here, they enjoy the cup of coffee. Maybe by that time they can browse on internet and, you know, look at the things they are interested. So there's a moment for them to disconnect and have a moment by themselves. There are people who are, they love to go to places where a certain heritage style is maintained, perhaps running away from modernity, this clinical look of everything should be. And in our place, we try to bring this heritage feeling of, okay, let's take the best from the past and bring the best of the future too. Then we have the emotional people, people who really feel directly connected to emotions and taste and flavor. So it's almost like an emotional affair coming here and having a cappuccino. They feel really like, wow, I'm going to have now a real sensorial experience. So we can cut across all the segments. As you see, coffee embraces all types of society. It goes across. Depending on your needs, you will choose one or the other. But if you could see in our coffee shop, we have the drivers, they have a community by themselves. They love to drink our coffees before they go for a trip. And then you have also visitors from Bombay who wants to try a single estate in a vacuum siphon and have a very kind of a sophisticated coffee experience. So we need to be able to provide a coffee experience for everyone. This is the steam. The steam is in Italian is vaporetto. And vaporetto is one of the amazing inventions Italians did. Because with that, we heat the milk. But we don't heat the milk with only heat. We call steam blasting technique. You blast steam to the milk at the high pressure. So what you do, you introduce micro bubbles of hot steam into the milk structure. It becomes very, very velvety, very creamy. With that, you can make lovely coffees like cafe lattes. You can do the latte art. And the texture of your drink is like velvet, you know. And also, the vaporetto will help you to heat up the milk, but not much than 65 degrees. 65 degrees is the threshold for us. Above 65 degrees, what happens in the milk molecules, they start to change. And, you know, good milk should be sweet in taste. From the moment you heat up above 65, that sweetness starts to go and sourness appears.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Nice.
¿Cómo está, compañero?
Muy bien, señor.
Venga, compadre.
Compadre y la madre, los abuelos.
It looks like you're coming from the space.
I'm coming from the space from my night. My night is a space.
Long distance.
I have to eat quickly because it's
good
coffee, black coffee.
Black.
I stopped the milk.
No problem. We have also beautiful
and you have
coffee.
Like a fruit salad or something.
Fruit salad we have.
With
nice.
A curd or something.
Some cereals.